We just got chastised in the hallway.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I think it was one of those things where it was a mom move. It was a parent move.
Well, what it is, we work in a building. There's a long hallway, and there's a bunch of studios down this hallway. And there's people that are live on radio stations, and there's people like us who are recording a podcast. And you and I weren't making the noise, were we?
I certainly was not. No,
maybe it was me.
No, it was just someone came down the hall, and they were asking a question about coffee or saying something about coffee.
But yelling from the far end of the building.
And then someone stuck their head out of one of the radio studios being like,
"Boys,
is everything okay out here? I heard quite a commotion.
I heard quite a commotion." So,
which I think was just a subtle way of being like, shut it.
I feel like I just got chastised.
I want to be angry, but also I have been that one.
Oh my God.
Inside
the
studio, and you're like, excuse me.
But we're trying to do a show.
I'm trying to express my art form here.
It's weird as an adult, as a middle-aged male. You're not quite middle-aged. Maybe one day you will be. But as a middle-aged male, it's weird to get in trouble at work. Like, it's weird. It's just a strange feeling.
Yeah, especially for something like that.
Yeah. A lawn chair is a good time chair, but you're aware of that. It folds down to half the size so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I've never had a bad time in my old lawn chair. Hey, welcome to the Lawn Chair Prophets. My name's Garner Andrews. That's Bryce Kelly sitting right over there.
Yeah, not a big deal. I'm here again.
Yeah, just holding it down.
Yeah, going through the motions.
What? Going through the motions? Really?
You know, one day blending into the next.
Yeah, it does sort of feel like that. And I've been talking. I find now the late afternoons at home, because we work weird hours. I'm home by, I'll tell you, lunchtime, but sometimes it's earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm finding that I've got everything done by like 3:30 in the afternoon, and then it just becomes evening at 3:30. I'm finding myself in front of the TV by 4:30.
It's already dark out by then.
I can't keep my eyes open at 7:30.
Yeah.
It just because I'm not being productive.
It's weird because we're in, what, month 9 or whatever of this pandemic, and I think the walls are starting to close in, and the fact now that the sun is setting at 4:30 in the afternoon, and you're like, oh, boy.
I stood at the fridge last night. My wife had to take a phone call. I'm like a toddler at home. My wife had to go in another room, take a phone call. I stood up. I went to the fridge. I pulled a container of ice cream out, and I stood and ate ice cream at the island and then put it back in the fridge again before she came back. It's like I feel like I'm being supervised all the time.
Oh, I'm starting to just hate watch things now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll start a series, and I'm really not enjoying it, but I'm like, you know what? I may as well.
It's almost like I hate myself so much, I don't deserve a better show. I don't deserve a pleasant evening of TV viewing, so I'm going to watch this horrible POS.
Yeah, I've started this documentary series, and
Is it the trial one?
Yeah, it's Trial 4 on Netflix, which starts off really well, and the story's good, but it's 8-hour-long episodes.
Yeah, it becomes a thing.
And it could have probably been 3 or 4.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Especially when the name of, like, it's called Trial 4. You know you're going to have to get through at least 4 trials to find out where this thing goes.
And I'm committed. I've seen 3 of the trials, and I'm like, how does this fourth one? Like, I just need to know. Did he kill this cop or not?
You could Google it.
I may as well. But then it'll stay on my continue watching thing. And
that's when you fast forward. I never, ever just stop something. If I'm done with it, I'll sit there and I'll go 4 times fast forward just to get it off of my. And what's with Netflix nagging you to finish watching things? You get an email from them and it's like, hey, you're going to finish watching Trial 4? It's like, what is it to you, Netflix? Why do you care?
It's like they know I have nothing better to do.
Yeah. So now we're hate watching and we're hate eating. I don't want this podcast to be a bummer. But this kind of goes together with, I was talking the other day while I'm standing at the fridge, hate eating and just putting ketchup on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my thing, is I abuse condiments. I've talked about this. I will put ranch dressing on things that don't deserve ranch dressing,
But for some reason, it's like I see it in the fridge door and I'm like, huh, ranch dressing on some macaroni. Okay. Why not? Again, eating like a toddler. But I let slip the other day too that sometimes I put ketchup on poutine.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll even put vinegar with the ketchup on the poutine.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I will just go all in on the condiments.
I like ketchup. There's nothing wrong with ketchup. But it doesn't need to be on poutine. Vinegar on poutine?
Yeah.
Like, now you're just crossing a line.
Sometimes I'll put ketchup on chicken, and I don't care. It makes it taste better to me. It makes it yummy.
Ketchup on chicken?
Uh-huh.
Oof.
You know, oh, hang on a second. You know what else I like ketchup on? Chicken. This is a text I'm reading.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. See, I agree with this person because, but it's not something I would ever do in front of other people. I would do this alone.
It would require a lot of explanation. What
yeah.
are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Are and your then, taste buds broken? Is then, that chicken too spicy?
You know what I could have done? I ordered some spicy Popeyes the other day. I could barely get through it. It was bad.
Ugh.
It was bad. And then did I tell you this? The worst part is that during the pandemic, you could, like the no contact, just leave it on my step thing.
Oh, yes.
And I got the text saying, oh, your food's about to arrive. So I get up from the couch and I'm looking through the window and I got no lights on in the house, but I could see the guy standing outside. I'm like, why isn't he leaving? Go, go, go. So I stood there forever. He wasn't leaving. So finally I just opened the door and he goes, ha, I thought it was you. Like he had recognized my name on the...
Oof.
Yeah. So...
Oof.
And then he got a glimpse of me in my blown out sweatpants and just looking grim.
Just a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That he probably regrets.
He probably does. Garner, I sometimes go for breakfast with a guy that orders a glass of milk and a Coke and he mixes them together in a third glass that he always has to ask for.
What?
Yeah, the milk and Coke. I know a guy who used to order that too.
Milk and Coke?
It's a weird combination.
That seems like a mistake. It just seems disgusting.
Like, it's fine to like milk and it's fine to like Coke. Why do you have to be on the same ride together?
Yeah, why do you need carbonated milk? I don't get it.
Yeah, somebody else says, it's common for Italians to mix red wine and Coke.
What?
I'm not sure how common that actually is.
Red wine and Coke?
Red wine and Coke? That just tells me that you don't really like red wine.
Yeah, I'm not a wine guy, but it seems like you're ruining it by putting Coke in it.
The text-to-landline lady's calling. Hello, text-to-landline lady.
The milk and Coke is a virgin paralyzer. To reply, press 2.
You drink the paralyzer because you want to get hammered, right? It's not like you're just, you know what I could really go for? Coke and milk. No,
someone else texted and said that some restaurant, was it A&W used to have it, and they called it moose milk?
Yeah.
Which makes it even worse. The visual of that is terrible.
And other people are saying it's called a Darth Vader. Why would that be a Darth Vader?
I can't get behind this Coke and milk idea.
Is Darth Vader black and white? No, his getup's all black. Oh, but he went to the dark side, right? So he used to... Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I see. See, that's as offensive to me as your... ketchup and poutine.
Yeah.
Poutine already has gravy. You don't need ketchup.
Yes, you do.
And those things don't mix.
I want to grab this. Hello.
You know what? I'm going to give you a kudos because if I learn nothing from Food Network, and I'm sure they would love me talking about adding ketchup to poutine, or even in my opinion, Kraft Dinner, they're all about balancing the flavors. You got to have the umami, the salt, like the sweet, the tangy, the crispy, all the elements to be a perfect dish. And that ketchup adds that sweet and tangy you need on a heavy umami and cheesy dish. So you have a very high class palate, Garner.
Would you call it somewhat sophisticated?
I would, because I do like me a little bit of ketchup on a poutine, but it has to be if the gravy is maybe a little on the heavy side or there's not enough gravy. Then ketchup really needs to come into play.
You know what, Janine? You've made me feel better about myself today.
Always.
I was feeling ashamed of my eating habits. But anyway.
Everyone's got a weird thing. One of my high school boyfriends on Kraft Dinner used to put ranch dressing and barbecue sauce. So, you know, to each their own.
I think I might have that for lunch today. See, it's ranch dressing. Ranch dressing is it the greatest condiment of all time?
Listen, I'm all for ranch dressing, but it doesn't need to be on everything. Also, blue cheese is a better one.
Blue cheese? Gross. That's like, oh, could I have something on this that smells of feet?
Hey, blue cheese with hot wings is better than ranch and hot wings.
I don't know.
Mark my words.
Hey, guys, my sister drinks Coke, not Pepsi, with every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I've never seen her drink water, milk, or any other beverage, just Coke. McKenna. Your sister's skin must be beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, you got to splice in a water somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your kidneys are in for a rough go. the amount of people who are disgusted by ketchup on eggs surprised me.
That's perfectly normal.
I thought so. That's where I put my ketchup. I put it on eggs.
I couldn't eat scrambled eggs without it. Like,
no.
I think that's where the ketchup shines on the egg is the scrambled egg.
Yeah. Even an omelet, I'll toss it on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that one go? Somebody ordered, I had a text in front of me a few minutes ago. It was from somebody, oh, here we go. I went for brunch with my buddy the other day. He ordered hot wings and a coffee. Is there a worse combo? The answer to that question, no. No, that's pretty much the grossest thing you could put together. Hot wings and a coffee?
When you need to perk up in the morning, but also you want to get on that bowl. Give me the hot wings.
Give me a coffee.
Yeah, all these people, and the ketchup haters is out there too. It seems to be split down the middle about the poutine ketchup nonsense. I put ketchup on my poutine. My friends who hail from Eastern Canada have nearly disowned me for it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Eastern Canada claims ownership on the poutine. But then there's the people too that call it poutine.
My grandpa used to put ketchup in homemade chicken noodle soup. That's a grandpa thing to do.
It sure is.
Why do grandpas have the worst taste in everything? At a certain age, I think you just cross a line where you're like, yeah, ketchup, chicken noodle soup.
It's sort of like you've blown out your taste buds.
I remember my grandpa telling me he used to just take two pieces of bread and fill it with onion, cut up onion.
Oh.
And that's all he'd eat.
An onion sandwich?
Yeah. Like, I can't do that. I once had a bar customer that put Clamato in his Sleeman's Honey Brown. You don't put Clamato in a honey brown. You put that in like a Canadian. You put that in a light beer.
Oh, is that all that weird? That's not that weird.
That's a little weird.
Eh, I don't know.
My son puts ketchup on his tacos.
I might do that too.
Oh, yeah. Hard-boiled eggs and peanut butter.
That's gross.
Yeah, no, those things don't need to mix.
That's two worlds colliding. They might be together on your same plate at breakfast, but they don't all need to be going down the chute at the exact same time.
No, that's just it. All these things are fine individually. It's just some things are not meant to be tied together. Sour cream and brown sugar on pancakes?
That, how do you end up there?
How did you get sour cream on your pancakes? Like, that's just...
Maybe, here, let me float this one out. Maybe they thought they got the container of Cool Whip out of the fridge. And they thought they were putting Cool Whip on their pancakes when, in fact, they were putting sour cream on there. And then next thing you know, this is pretty good.
I think someone saw them do that, and they just, like, they played it up like they meant to do it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, no, this is good.
Told us how they eat it in the old country, and they're puking while they eat it, but they managed to get it down.
My 7-year-old daughter decided to have Black Forest cake with ketchup. Oh, jeez.
That's a 7-year-old who doesn't know anything.
No, that 7-year-old should be thrown out on the streets.
I love ketchup. I love Black Forest cake, but those two things do not need to go together.
Oh, what about the people who put cheese on their apple pie?
That's weird, too. That's don't care for that.
One. Don't need to do that.
Let's grab one more here, Bryce, before we shut this one down. Hello.
Hi. I know you're having a discussion about ketchup today. I wanted to let you know that I agree with everything you're saying about ketchup. Especially on the poutine with vinegar.
Oh, pepper. Yeah. It's like I can't get enough condiments onto my poutine.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. I think the only thing I think I've put ketchup on my chicken in the past, but that's about the only thing I don't really do much. But everything else, I'm exactly with you.
Out somewhere eating fried chicken with friends, I'll just put some ketchup on my plate, like, you know, and pretend it's for my fries. But when no one's looking, I'll just, you know, do a little drive-by, slide a little piece of chicken through the ketchup. you know. So
you know what's really good too?
What?
It has nothing to do with ketchup, but I always bring my own little thing of molasses when I go out for a $30 or $40 steak, and I dip my molasses, my steak into my molasses. It's great.
I didn't even know you could buy molasses. I thought that was just something that you saw in cartoons that thieves got stuck in.
No.
Molasses, I honest to God thought molasses was just something from cartoons that they used to mark the slow passage of time.
Yeah, I've never been going through a recipe and required molasses before.
Yeah, and I know you have a sophisticated kitchen at home.
I do.
There's always something going on in there.
Yeah, I have a chef's kitchen.
Yeah.
But I've never required molasses. But the number of people who are texting and saying molasses in gingerbread?
Yeah. If you make a gingerbread house, you need molasses. I will never make a gingerbread house. I might buy one of those weird kits at the store.
Yeah.
And put one together.
I didn't even know it was an option to make your own.
No.
The Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly.
There are certain occupations, well, actually, it's almost every occupation, that when you meet somebody and you tell them what they do, they'll ask you the same question.
Yeah, you get the same question right out of the gun, right away.
Yeah.
For us, I guess, probably so, when we wake up.
Yeah, what time do you guys have to get up?
That one is probably number one.
Or, you guys really do have faces for radio, which isn't a question as much as it's just a hurtful statement.
Yeah, it is a stick and stone that breaks my bones.
Every single time.
Or you get the even almost worse, do you have to go to school for that? Or
yeah.
Yes.
Or you get people who are related to you at the Christmas dinner table looking across the table at you. And then looking at the person next to you going, maybe we should just buy some joke books and we can do that too.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Is that a full-time job? It is.
It can be, yes.
All of these things kind of hurt for some reason.
Yeah, well, they definitely hurt. I'm very thin-skinned about that. We also learned the first responders.
Oh, stop asking cops, firefighters,
paramedics,
what the worst thing is they've ever seen.
The amount of people that said that they get that question immediately every time, the worst thing. Hey, what's the worst day you've ever had, and relive it for me?
Yeah, right now while I drink this beer.
Yeah, I know we're at a barbecue. Yeah. If you could tell me about that car accident.
That horrific car accident.
And then military people.
Oh, yeah.
Stop asking them if they've ever killed anyone.
Those seem to be the but the first responders thing, that just boggles my mind. And sure, we're all curious about it. Let it happen organically. Maybe the person one day will talk about it. But right now, like you said, at the barbecue, they probably don't want to have to talk about picking up body parts and putting them in a garbage bag on the highway.
Yeah, they probably have that bottled up for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let them just enjoy their barbecue.
It's just, or if you're a first responder and you're tired of that and people are like, so what's the worst thing you've ever seen? Just go, Zoolander 2 was pretty bad. And it was.
It was terrible.
You could go, or you could be like, well, this one time I was the first one on the scene and I walked into the house. And not only did they have vertical blinds, they had ceiling fans too.
Yeah.
You could be like that.
Yeah. Wallpaper from the 70s.
You could keep that chambered. Why not?
That's solid.
This one. I am a carpenter. The first thing people often ask me is to hang a shelf for them. I don't even hang shelves at my job, but whatever, Chris. The hanging of a shelf might be, I know it's not necessarily carpentry, but it might be the most simple DIY thing you could do for yourself at home.
Yeah. If you're not capable of hanging a shelf, you don't deserve a shelf. Just keep your stuff on the ground.
Exactly. You should be living in your car where you don't require any shelves.
That's another thing. Let's just all have a rule that if you're meeting someone for the first time and they have an interesting job, your question should not ruin the barbecue.
Yeah.
Is this going to disrupt them from eating potato salad?
Uh-huh.
So asking if they'll hang a shelf would disrupt his potato salad, so don't ask it.
I would love nothing more than to go hang a shelf right now. Let me set this down. I'm a nanny, so everyone asks for child care. I already work 50 hours a week. No, thank you. Oh, this one. I work in HR. people ask me if I always wanted to be like Toby from The Office when I was little. Of course.
Oh, yeah. We all had Toby posters on our wall when we were going to HR school.
I used to work for an airline, and the main question was, have you ever thrown a drink in someone's face at 40,000 feet? No, because I worked on the ground crew. Well, I guess that makes sense.
That wouldn't be my first question either. If I found out someone worked on a plane, have you ever thrown a drink in someone's face? That's not where my mind goes.
I'd be like, have you ever been in a crash?
Have you ever been in a free fall?
Oh my God, that'd be brutal. One of those where you, every now and again, you see news footage of a plane. It's just flying and all of a sudden it falls like 7,000 feet.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't hit the ground. It just falls. And there's just stuff strewn about everywhere. All the overheads are open.
Yeah, people were hitting the ceiling.
Everybody's got a bloody nose.
I'd be more interested to know if people going to the bathroom in pairs, if you know what I'm saying.
No, can you explain? Those bathrooms are small. Why would you go with another person?
Well, when a mommy and daddy love each other very much, but things have gotten a little stale.
Okay.
They sometimes want to join a club. Sometimes it's a mile high.
Okay.
And it involves going to the bathroom for special handshakes.
The bathroom that's always covered in a layer of pee or something, like the bathroom that's always all wet. Every surface is wet for some reason.
Yeah, that one.
Oh.
When people go to that bathroom in pairs, are they being as sly about it as they think they are?
Mm.
I have a feeling you're not.
No. Hey, and you know the flight attendants have a key to that bathroom? If they need to get in there, they will get in there. Hey, guys. Garbage man Chase here. I always get asked if I've ever found a body.
Ooh.
We actually, you know what? Didn't we get another person who drives one of those,
right?
The front load.
Yeah, the one that pull a dumpster over top the front of the truck.
Yeah, and it's like, have you ever dumped a body? I don't know. How would I know that?
The screams, probably. Yeah, they're
No, not if you got the music crank. Not if you're listening to Def Leppard.
Oh, man, I would ask that question. Okay, so that's good to know.
Okay, stop asking that one. I might want, this person says, I might have one of the few jobs that people never ask follow-up questions. I am an accountant.
Ooh.
The usual reply I get when telling someone is, oh, you must like math. And then the topic changes. I have no follow. I would be like, well, what's the best part of being an accountant? Depreciating assets?
Combing through pages and pages of data?
Tell me more about, you know what sounds way cooler than it probably is? Forensic accounting. That sounds really, really cool, but I think it's probably not as cool as we think it is.
No, probably not.
I wish people would stop asking me to diagnose their health problems. I'm a biology teacher. People are going to you to talk to about their health problems?
Yeah. That's when you know life is not going your way, is when you're leaning on biology teachers to diagnose your rash.
Pharmacy technician. So, can you get me some Percocet? What does Percocet do? Oh, it's a painkiller?
I think it's a painkiller.
Somebody else, I'm a pastry chef and a pastry chef. A common question I get is, how are you not 500 pounds?
Mm.
Then they're like, well, I'm 385 pounds.
Yeah. I'm allergic to gluten. Thank you.
As a speech language pathologist, the worst thing is when a person pretends to have a stutter.
Oh.
Is that something people are doing?
I hope not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to ruin a dinner party.
Do we have a call?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, let's grab that. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I hear you guys are asking about weird questions you get.
Yeah, when people find out what you do for a living, what's the first thing they ask you?
Well, I'm an equine remedial therapist. So I do massages and chiropractics on horses, and these questions are 100% from men.
Oh, no, I know exactly where this is going.
And it's always like, do you give the horses happy endings? It was so nasty. And then the second question I always get after that is, will you give me a massage?
Oh.
It is nasty.
I feel that anybody, whether you massage horses or human beings, it's like we've all got to stop asking that question. It's not funny.
It is so nasty.
My first question for somebody who gives horse massage, like, where do you get a table that big?
Well, that's another question one of my other friends, who's also one, gets. We don't have a table for them. They just stand.
I know. I was just being annoying.
My friend has actually gotten that question before.
For real?
For real. Someone literally asked her, and she's like, what?
Oh, boy.
He's like, yeah. He's like, where do you get the table that big?
The worst part of your job, though, and I can only imagine, horses are probably just terrible tippers.
Very bad. Very bad.
Yeah. You know what? Can we just, I think the people who have it worse than the first responders have it having to answer that question all the time, which is the worst thing you've ever. I think anybody who massages anything, whether it's horses or human beings, everybody stop asking them about the happy ending.
Yeah, it seems to be either happy endings or,
oh, can you work out my neck?
Got a bit of a crook in my neck here.
Yeah, stop asking for free massages at the party.
I'll bet you, too, that there's probably a creepy uncle at every Christmas dinner table who looks across the table at his, I don't know, niece or the girlfriend of the nephew who is a massage therapist. It's like, so you give a happy ending? Oh,
grim.
I know.
Ooh.
Oh, look at this. Yeah. I'm a registered massage therapist. As soon as people hear that, they always start rubbing their backs and necks, and the conversation magically turns towards their seemingly sudden aches and pains. Most people are even brave enough to ask if I can just fix their ache for a second while they hold my wine.
No. No, they don't want to do that. Can I do my job at this party? That's what I'm really looking to do.
That would be wonderful. Hey, guys, love the podcast. I work in federal corrections. I used to be a correctional officer at a women's prison.
Ooh.
So many dumb questions. The worst was, is it just like Orange is the New Black with hotties and a lot of girl-on-girl action? I would say yes all the time. And then I can't read the rest of this for fear that I will have to report to management.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of hotties.
Oh, man. That is sad.
Hey, I'm a firefighter. First question is, what do you guess it is, Bryce?
Worst thing you've ever seen?
You would be correct.
Yeah. Stop doing that.
Yeah. Let's grab another call, and then we'll move on. Hi.
Hi, it's James the Locksmith. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jake. We talked to you once before.
Yeah, about finding the,
Well, it was a part of your line of work that none of us ever think of before, is that sometimes you get called out to open the door on an apartment because there's a bad smelling coming from it and nobody has seen the occupant for a couple of weeks.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So I get the question all the time, like, oh, so safe cracking, is it like in the Italian job or like, If I'm sitting there picking a lock, which is, it does take a considerable amount of finesse. You know, people are like, oh, you know, why isn't it like it is in the movies? And it's like, hey, man, I got 20 years of doing this, like, and it still sometimes takes 10, 15 minutes, you know? Like,
yeah, people's expectations for you to get into their safe or their car or whatever, they're unrealistic because of the movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. At the same time, too, like, when I have cracked a safe, 99% of the time, the person whom I'm cracking the safe for, like, if they, you know, if they move into a house and they find a safe, and then I open it for them, and 99% of the time, they're completely disappointed that they have to pay me hundreds of dollars to open an empty safe.
Yeah, I'm not here doing this on spec that will divvy up the loot, because there's never any loot.
That's exactly right.
Have you ever, though, cracked a safe, though, and there has been a bountiful loot inside?
You know, I haven't, but the guy I apprenticed under had, and he opened a safe in a guy's attic on an acreage, and inside was a carton of cigarettes from the 1920s that had baseball cards in the packages. And when he ended up selling them at auction, they were worth, the carton of cigarettes was worth something like $3 or $4 million.
Hmm. That's a lot of money. But I would have so many probably stupid questions for locksmiths. I would do the same thing. I would be guilty of the, can you crack a safe just using a stethoscope?
Yeah, can you break into any house at any time?
Yeah.
Ooh, can they?
Oh my God, maybe they're breaking into your house right now while we're here doing this.
Oh God.
The Lawn Chair Profits, solving the world's problems one podcast at a time.
So the other night, when my wife was in the room and we were watching TV together and I wasn't over at the fridge eating ice cream while she was in the other room on the phone,
mm-hmm.
She said something to me and it made complete sense. She was talking about her beloved Grey's Anatomy.
Okay. That's,
so Grey's Anatomy is her all-time favorite TV show. She has watched every episode, every single season. And it's been on for what, like 19 years or something?
It's insane. I was just on Netflix the other day and saw that it has 17 seasons.
17 seasons, okay.
Like, it's insane.
It's been on for a long, long time.
That's a long commitment to a show.
Her second favorite TV show of all time, This Is Us.
Okay.
Which is a show that I don't watch for fear that it'll make me cry.
Probably.
And she was saying to me that she's struggling with them now. Episode of Grey's Anatomy, she said it took her four times to try and get through it because they've brought in a COVID storyline now.
Oh.
Which to me seems like lazy writing. Like that to me is like everybody's got enough COVID storyline going on in their real lives. We don't need it in TV. And my wife said that was her escape. And I feel bad because for a lot of people, yeah, that's your escape at the end of the day. You sit down, you check out, you watch this show that has nothing to do with what's going on in real life, and Now all of a sudden, boom.
I never thought of that. That makes sense. I just always thought the shows are trying to be super timely, super topical.
There is that. I get that. But we don't need timely and topical because everywhere you look, it's the only thing people are talking about.
Oof. Yeah, that makes more sense. Luckily, none of the shows I watch have. I saw an advertisement for that Superstore, whatever it's called, the sitcom show.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
Neither have I, but
I saw. Is it good?
I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm basing that off of 0 seconds of watching. But I saw a preview, and it looks like they have a storyline coming in.
Oh, no.
They were celebrating finally being called heroes.
Oh.
Working at this store.
I can kind of understand, like, the Grey's Anatomy thing. Maybe it allows them to keep taping the show. Because now everybody's masked up and everybody's wearing PPE so they can be in the same room together shooting a scene.
That seemed to be a popular theory. I think they're getting around production without masks.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to wear masks while they're taping.
The nerds are getting in touch. Know what show doesn't include COVID? The Mandalorian.
Oh, geez.
Star Wars with the escapism win. It would be weird if all of a sudden they were wearing masks over their helmets.
That would be a little funny. Baby Yoda.
Oh, he'd be adorable with a mask on.
He wouldn't wear a mask. He'd wear one of those plastic shields that you see sometimes.
Yeah, probably.
That you're like, how does that work?
It's everywhere, though. Let me grab this. Hi.
I'm just listening to the radio, and you're talking about escapes and how they're bringing in COVID into them. Well, my big escape is video games and a recent release called Assassin's Creed, they actually incorporated COVID into their story as well. It's not as blatant and in your face, but I still think it's the first video game that's incorporated COVID. So just another interesting tidbit.
Yeah, you're playing the game and you're about to go on a killing spree, but you gotta hand sanitize and mask up first.
Yeah, something, right? Okay. Oh, it's wild.
Hey, what's your name?
My name's Philip.
I can only imagine. Maybe they will work the pandemic, the COVID thing, into Mario Kart.
Mm.
You know how Mario's throwing a banana peel out of his... Maybe he can throw out a spent mask. I mean, everybody's throwing them out anyway.
Yeah, you're trying to pass Wario,
yeah,
and he just turns and coughs on you.
Oh.
And you're able to...
2 weeks later, your car slows down and you die.
Yeah, you're able to finish the lap, but the next lap, you start to slow down and you can't move as fast as you used to.
Yeah, you're kind of achy.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a headache. Oh my God, are we making jokes about a pandemic? Ugh. Is that what we've come to?
Maybe it's in Grand Theft Auto next, where you break into a car to steal a car,
mm-hmm.
and there's just a bunch of dirty masks dangling from the rearview mirror.
Yeah. somebody says, I have stopped watching any of my favorite TV shows that incorporate COVID-19 in their storylines. I agree with Garner's wife. These shows were my escape from real life. Now they're ramming it down my throat in our TV shows, too.
Interesting. It makes a lot of sense. I bet you they thought when they wrote it, they're being like, this is it, old boy.
We're so timely, so topical.
People are going to enjoy this. And then, yeah, the side effect is I don't need any more COVID in my life.
Yeah, it's like if you do get together with some friends, you know, 6.5 feet apart, and the topic turns to COVID, nobody wants to hear you talk about COVID right now.
No. Is it Michael Bay has a movie coming out about a pandemic? They rush through? Oh, boy. Yeah. Wait a few years. Give it a break. Give it a breather, I think.
And then we'll all look back on the pandemic nostalgically, and we'll want to relive it again.
Yeah. Remember when we just got to stay home for a full year?
Remember when we all got to wear comfy pants and we got really, really fat? Remember?
Thanks for listening to The Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Theme by Garner Andrews. Guests of The Lawn Chair Profits drink tap water. Mmm, tasty.